Good morning, everybody, for another Vines Online. I hope you're doing well. This is the June long weekend. For those of you, well, I guess most of us really, long weekend probably not much different from any other day. But there you go. June long weekend, Holy Communion Sunday. If you're joining us for the first time, we normally spend half an hour-ish celebrating our faith through songs, through scripture, through prayers, and a reflection, of course. And today is no different, and we're having Holy Communion thrown in as well. So you have a chance at some stage to maybe get some elements, you know, bread and wine, whatever you'd like to use for today. So today is a special day. We are announcing a new theme. And our theme, I'm not sure if you can pick it, it's not really picking up my favourite hobby, fishing, because I hate fishing personally. Unless you catch some fish, it is boring. Our theme is the Anchor Series. So what holds us firm in the storms of life? Or what anchors us? And this theme is something that we're going to be looking at for the next 3 months. And we know that, well, the life, and as we've known it, is really chaotic and different, isn't it? And we only have to turn on the TV to see how much chaos is happening. Think of America and all the riots and everything that's been happening in the last week after that terrible incident with the police. And, Black Lives Matter. And it doesn't matter where we are, what part of the world, it's really an important thing to remember, even in Australia. And so we're not immune to some of those tensions. Look, today's theme, as I've mentioned, is what holds us fast. I'd like to read to you a section from Psalm 118, just the first five verses. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. There's some of the bedrock statements of our faith. Another affirmation of our faith is picked up with a song the band is going to lead us with. Thanks, Bill. It's a song that has some powerful, significant words. Thanks.
Let's give praise to God and his amazing grace. Will you sing with us?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. have to dissolve myself. The sun forbear to shine.
So again, Amazing Grace is one of those songs that is played in so many different occasions and scenarios and picks up the unmerited favor and love of God, which is a fundamental part of our journey. Psalm 118 is our reading. And let me read a bit more to you. This is verses 5, verses to 14. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surround me, and in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me and surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They blazed like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, it always makes a difference when you read the scripture out loud, because even though I've read this verse a number of times, it comes alive with different things. And I guess it's a bit like having the children's talk. I love the children's talk because it gives us a chance to explore the theme in creative ways. So when I introduce the theme to the children, this is some of their responses.
Now, what floats on the water apart from ducks? And one of the clues was, yes, Sam's got a boat. Is that a Lego boat? No, it's a wooden boat. Beautiful.
I built it at the Royal Adelaide Show. A sail snapped off. So now it's only one sail. And you can move the sail.
The reason we're going to be talking about boats is because for the next 14 weeks, we're going to be talking about the Anchor Series. Who can tell me what an anchor is? Has anybody heard of an anchor?
I do.
You know what an anchor does. David, what's an anchor?
It's a boat, like, stay in one place because of the weight of the anchor.
Okay, so an anchor helps a boat stay in the one place. Why does it need to stay in the one place?
Because there might be an island that they don't want to go to, or they might just want to stop there.
Okay, so anchors help us stop crashing into islands or avoiding islands, or they help us stop, because boats don't have brakes, do they?
So they can't.
Well, it's very true. Brakes are important, aren't they? And the idea of having a break in, and the idea of carrying our anchors with us is an important thing. And we explored this theme a bit more, and here's some more comments the kids made.
The question is, well, what holds us firm? So an anchor stops us. And so, like, sometimes in life, we are thinking about those things that life's a bit like this. And sometimes we need an anchor to hold us firm. And sometimes we talk about our faith or God's love helping us hold firm.
You know, Kristen helps us unpack this a bit more. What does it look like? What is, when we talk about God's love as an anchor, what does it actually look like? And Sabella gives us a great answer.
Yeah, how's God our anchor? What does he do that helps remember, helps us remember that we're safe and strong when life is stormy? Sabella?
Yes, Sabella. Yeah. Oh, big voice. I think you've gone mute.
Keeps us in the same spot in love.
Yeah. Oh, he reminds us that he loves us. Love is like our, God's love is our anchor, isn't it? We remember that God loves us always. Then we can remember we stay strong.
So again, I hope you've enjoyed some of the reflections that children have made. And again, I think they really contribute a different way of looking at Scripture. And that's really part of the challenge, isn't it? Because we get so familiar with Scripture and the Bible and our faith, sometimes looking at it from a different angle is so important. All right, let me add a few notices. Now, every week we receive the Grapevine by email and on a Wednesday night, and then on the Saturday is the Grape. Now, the Grapevine is the admin communication. We give you updates and stuff like that. This week there's an update on the Strawberry Farm and also finances. Again, it's just a brief copy. It's not meant to give you an in-depth exploration. But we're just letting you know some of the latest stuff coming from the leaders team. Now, the other thing is that the Grape also picks up stuff for you to reflect on for the service. So hopefully you've read that on Saturday and it's added some extra bits to your reflections today. There's notices also in the Grapevine about envelopes. And if you've been giving via envelopes, read the notice in there too. So just let me give you a general comment about change. All of us are immersed in change. And even when something really exciting and good happens, it's confronting. It's about grief and loss. We have to let go something that we've had to embrace something new. So imagine if something's really important to us and we've had to let that go. It stirs us. So this year has been nothing but change. We have had to let go and do things differently all the time. So please be aware that you have grief and loss happening in your lives. So when you're communicating with each other, understand your level of anxiety and grief within you. This is real, people. Awareness is the fundamental way in which we understand and move into change. And so it's my prayer that as we continue to worship together and sing songs, but as you continue to reflect on your life, you'll discover more about how the emotions within you are being impacted by the changes around you. Let me pause for a prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our lives. And as we sit down and think about what anchors us in life, we ask that your Spirit would give us a sense of insight and awareness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Look, I thought I'd start by making something really obvious, making a statement like, to stop, all vehicles need brakes. That's very true, isn't it? I'm not sure if you've ever been in a vehicle or on a vehicle which has no brakes. It's a scary thing. In fact, I remember when my two boys were younger, we lived in Highbury when I was the minister at Dernancourt, and they have some beautiful paths near the linear park that just go. Now, being boys, testosterone was kicking around beautifully well, and we went to the park with our scooter. And we thought it would be a really good idea to get on the top of the path and come down. Now, one of my sons, who will remain unnamed, but you know who you are, decided that he would go first. And like a good father, I watched. And he jumped on the scooter, and I'm watching him go down. And then halfway down, I realized he realizes something. He's going really fast, and they can't find the brake. There is no brake. And he's beginning to twitch. I'm seeing him, watching him, and he's thinking of jumping off his scooter at 30 kilometers an hour down a hill. And I yell out, use the brake. And it's on the back wheel. And I could see his legs starting to reach around, and he finds a brake on the back wheel. And so, you know, I'm having all these flashbacks, all these images of, you know, ambulance, emergency, ECU, you know, Modbury Hospital, ICU. But thankfully, he found the break. Man, that was a relief. I would have had trouble explaining that to his mother. But we've seen lots of different pictures, haven't we, of vehicles not having brakes. And, you know, we saw that that semi-trailer hit the van and the van plowed into the petrol pump and the guy trying to dodge the vehicle coming at him. A massive collision. Or we've seen ships, massive metal monsters plowing into wharves. So not having a brake is an unbelievable horror. And the truth is, ships, which are the biggest vehicles in the world, actually don't have a brake, really, do they? Not as we understand it. You can't put your foot on a pedal and suddenly it stops. It just doesn't happen that way. And unlike cars, ships have anchors. So they have a different way of stopping. And if you type in anchor on the internet, you'll find a whole variety of different types of anchors. In fact, I couldn't find an anchor. I did a little dodgy drawing of an anchor. But anchors come in all shapes and sizes. Let me read you. You might not know that there's a delta anchor, a fluke anchor, a mushroom anchor, a grapple. That looks probably more like a grapple anchor. All of them have different strengths and boats in which they sit. They have different connections. So it's no good having a massive anchor on a small boat. Imagine your dinghy with a cruise liner anchor. The same thing with a massive ship having a small anchor. You need to get the right anchor because you take your anchor wherever you go when you're in a boat. Now, in the children's Zoom chat, Sam rightly mentioned that the reasons boats have anchors is to stop. I really like the fact that he identified not hitting an island was something really important for boats to do or to avoid. And boats actually have anchors bow and stern. So it's showing off here. I've actually just Googled it on the internet to find out the bow and the stern. So my capacity as a seaman is terrible. But anchors stop boats drifting in the water. They hold them firm in storms. And they're carried on boats. So the anchor series today really picks up the idea of what holds us firm in the storms of life. What is it? What anchors us? I really like that question. It's a really interesting question that reflects some further unpacking. Like, what troubles could we use or have overcome in our lives through using an anchor? And obviously we're not using a big metal thing, but what are those things in our lives that have been a significant impact on us that have helped ground us? I mean, how many times have we gone through life forgetting to use our anchor, forgetting to use our faith, forgetting to use those important experiences we've learned in life? And we come to a new experience and it's like, oh, this is the first time this has happened. But actually, when we look back in life, we've actually had more difficult experiences that we've got through or worked through, and there have been things we've learned. It's like my son trying to find the brake. He'd forgotten the brake. How many times do we forget that we have learned stuff about faith? Prevenient grace, last week we were talking about. God's power source is rare. They're ready to use. We have to plug it in and turn it on. How many times do we forget to do that? How many times do we ignore it? How many times do we just whatever? Key point about power and the anchor is it's available to us. We need to turn it on, plug it in, or to use the anchor. What does your anchor look like? I mean, have you got lots of anchors? Have you got a really small anchor, or is it a really heavy anchor? I mean, is it an anchor that is very old? Maybe it's an anchor that was developed early on in your life, an anchor of faith that holds you firm. I mean, it's important a thing to remember because none of us are born Christian. We might have been raised in Christian homes. So somewhere along the line in our lives, we've made a choice. Somewhere there's a connection. somewhere there is a meaning about your relationship to God that has anchored you. So what is that? Can you name that experience? Can you think of that one event that reinforced a faith connection for you that you use time and time again when you're confronted with change? Or maybe you've built upon it. You know, and in the Grape, the Saturday edition, I mentioned some lyrics I'd written when I felt the storms were blowing from within, you know, when I was in turmoil. You know, what are those things that held me tight? Those things that gave me some security to keep going despite the difficulties of what I was facing. Now, I really like Psalm 118. Let me share a few select verses. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. So there are three examples of what was an anchor for this author 2,700 years ago. The Lord is on my side, I do not fear. The Lord is on my side to help me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Now I can imagine that person using it time and time again when they're confronted with the situations in life, because ancient life was pretty hard. The psalmist was clear. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. Now, for us to be brave, we need to be immersed in fear. You know, we don't experience fear sitting at our breakfast table normally eating our cereal. It depends, I guess, on where we are and what's happening. But it's the same with faith. I mean, faith is something that occurs in the midst of fear, not in the absence of fear. In fact, faith is to fear like foot is to ball, what hungry is to eat, like the vines is to love, or like Jesus is to God. You know, there's a connection that faith comes alive when things are chaotic and turbulent and hard and difficult. When fear abounds, faith is there to anchor us. The Lord is my strength. They said, the Lord is my strength. Not the Lord sometimes is my strength, you know, when I remember. The Lord is, you know, my strength when he rocks up. The Lord is my strength is an affirmation that God in Jesus is with us all the time. The Lord is on my side to help me. The Lord is my strength, my might. He's become my salvation. So, look, obviously the psalmist had some real clear things that he wanted to talk about. They were key words that he shared with us, were written down. But what about you? What faith anchors you? What has anchored you in the storms of life? What connects you? What sustains you? What holds you firm? I really loved Sibella's response. Wasn't it a beautiful little response about what an anchor does? Keeps us in the same spot in love. Anchor keeps us in the same spot in love. So when we're anchored in God's love, it's like we're being held in this presence of love. This safety of love, this safe harbor of love, whatever it is. It's a beautiful image. You know, for me, when I was a young boy, we moved around a lot. But one of the things I knew was that God loved me. It was a powerful way of undergirding my identity and dealing with all the challenges that came. As a theological student, you know, being confronted with the academic challenges and going to India and all the other drama that happened, you know, one of the things that sustained me was discovering the crucified God, you know, that Jesus is with me in my suffering. Not distant, removed, but with me in my suffering. I'm not alone. And having been in the army and been overseas and in conflict environments, knowing that the presence of God is about breathing and focusing on the now, on the day, on Jesus' presence with me. So again, it's those sort of things have anchored me and continued to connect me in. But what about you? What holds you? What connects you? We're going to have Holy Communion after a song. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, in the old days, they used to use rocks and they'd get holes, chisel holes in it and put a rope through it. And that would be the anchor. I'm thinking maybe if in your garden somewhere you could find a little rock to remind you of an anchor. Or maybe you have an anchor at home. Maybe I could borrow it for next week. But a rock to remind you of those things that anchor you in your faith. And we'll use that in communion. But let me close with a prayer. And then I'll get the band to lead us in a song. A Hightower. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we've talked about a lot of different aspects of how you connect and sustain and hold us firm. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would continue to reinforce this truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pause as we listen to this song. Thanks, Bill and band. And I'm going to get you to pause now as we prepare for communion. Welcome back again. Vines Online, we're doing Holy Communion in my backyard. So welcome. And part of what I really wanted us to do is to focus on the real meaning of communion, which is based in that relationship. It's that affirmation. I mean, when Jesus gathered with the disciples and said farewell, there was an anchor moment in that experience where he was breaking the bread and sharing the wine. And it was like he was saying to them, hey, this is my body and this is my blood shed for you. And the anchor moment is that whenever they did that in remembrance of him. But it was more than that. Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the age. So that was an anchor moment. And as we enjoy the noise of my dog drinking water, we remember that life is full of chaos. And that's really where faith comes to life. So I'm going to invite you to pause as I consider the words of communion. So, Lord Jesus, we ask at this time, wherever we might be, that your Spirit may fill us with that sense of purpose and hope and love. And the elements that we use, bread, grape juice, wine, whatever it is, that you may change them into the elements that sustain us spiritually as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My favorite part of communion is where I get to say these words. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in love. So, communion fundamentally is an anchor point in our love relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus, a sacrifice we remember daily, weekly, monthly, throughout our lives. So, I invite you to set your table, to have your elements available and ready. These are God's gifts for God's people. Come for all is ready. So the bread, I invite you to break the bread. Just in the same way on that Last Supper, Jesus stood among them and said, this is my body broken for you. So too we remember and we break the bread. Also when Jesus after supper took the cup and said, this is my blood which is shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. That is what we're doing now. So in your own time, I invite you to get the bread, break it, and eat it. In your own time, get the glass or the cup and drink the blood of Christ. Eat and drink and remember. Lord Jesus, we offer our lives to you. And in that offering, we know that you will continue to bring change in our lives, whatever age we are. Help us to be anchored in your love, so that in the midst of change, we will trust and be strong. In Jesus' name. Hey, thanks for joining us today. And again, it's a reminder of our motto to phone a friend and choose life, because you can't catch the virus over the phone, but you can pass on God's love. So thanks for joining us today, and I really ask that the Holy Spirit would continue to grow in your life. And look forward to catching you again sometime. Bye.